The refrain of our psalm response, I think this weekend, gives us a helpful hint about really preparing these final days of Advent, anticipating the celebration of Christmas. Lord, make us turn to you, let us see your face, and we shall be saved. It's about a posture, it's about a certain kind of desired connection with the ways that God will reveal himself to us. And thus the scriptures kind of remind us about this in different ways. Obviously, mindful that we journey these last Sunday of Advent, and a couple weeks ago I mentioned that I would like to think of Advent, since it's got 4 weeks, to think of the four corner pieces of a puzzle. So we remember the gift of hope, the call to repentance, last week the invitation to joy, and this weekend for me the final piece is the faith and trust of Mary, especially as we listen to the gospel this weekend. Mary visiting Elizabeth, the second joyful mystery of the rosary. But for a moment, just to kind of think about the first reading today from the prophet Micah, it describes an insignificant place, Bethlehem of Ephrathah. It says it's a small little village, but somehow it becomes significant because God's son is going to be born there. It becomes known, and somehow the littleness reveals the greatness of God's infinite love, his power of grace that's poured out upon us, God's people. So it helps us to contemplate that sometimes even in small gifts, there is incredible meaning, incredible blessings. But maybe many times we have pondered and prayed the rosary and said, you know, the first joyful mystery, the Annunciation, and then the second mystery, the Visitation. But the scriptures this weekend really, I think in a very intentional way, call us to think about what Mary did. She visited Elizabeth, and it says she went in haste. So even Mary showed us a certain kind of humanness, that sometimes we're in a hurry to go places, some places that are important, hopefully even church. You know, to think about that sometimes we want to be there because it's important to us. And to think that Mary had that same disposition as she went to visit Elizabeth and began to share and experience things that were different and yet the same. Huh? Both women expectant, Elizabeth being very maybe in age and not and thought of as saying, I could never have a child, and yet God had blessed her. And Mary being unwedded, young, really having maybe a desire for a different future, and yet God laid out the plan for her to be the mother of Jesus. And so these two women exchanged not only a greeting, but experiences, even probably that of pregnancy, knowing that women are very good at sharing and helping one another through many parts of life. But to think of how these two women come together, and somehow they reveal the power and the personal presence of those who believe. You know, both times in the gospel it says, even Elizabeth says, blessed are you among women and blessed is the fruit of your womb. That's what Elizabeth told Mary. And then at the end she again said, blessed are you who believe that what was spoken to you by the Lord would be fulfilled. And so this visit between Mary and Elizabeth somehow kind of unveils itself to this mystery of how God not only is present, but how there is blessings that come about because of the visit. Now also we could think on a secondary level, in a hidden level, is also the two infants who also in some ways communicate. There is the voice, John the Baptist, who leaps for joy the moment that Mary kind of visits or becomes present to Elizabeth. So we know that John the Baptist was known as the voice, so he is already acknowledging the word, Jesus, who's unspoken but also in Mary's womb. And these two children become truly instruments of grace and salvation for us. But the women are the cooperators, the instruments of God. And through this visit, even in person, they not only share, but they nurture one another, encourage one another, but also share how God works wondrous things because of his love. Think about in your life in the last week or two, and maybe in the next couple days, and maybe even today, knowing that there are going to be opportunities for people to gather, to pray, to celebrate the beginnings of Christmas. That it happens not only in person, but sometimes even through phone calls, email, other ways of communication, even the simplicity of a card or a letter. These become opportunities of not only encountering grace, but of hope and joy, even sometimes acknowledging sorrow, but also love. The divine love of Jesus that consoles and uplifts us and helps us know that God really does care about us. That's why Jesus comes to us. Family gatherings and parties, obviously, like I said, have begun, but my hope is that they also become opportunities for thinking about this exchange and opportunity and chances to nurture the gift of faith as well as joy. I want to share with you a different angle of reflection when we think about the concept of a visit. And this is from Pope Francis, which I found very insightful. He said, God's presence in our lives never leaves us tranquil. It always pushes us to do something. When God comes, he always calls us out of our home. We are visited so that we can visit others. We are encountered so we can encounter others. We receive love in order to give love. And the gospel tells us that Mary went in haste to accompany her cousin, who also conceived in her old age. Henceforth, this was always her way. She has always been the woman who visits women, men, and children, the elderly and the young. And now she continues to bring us the word of life, her son, our Lord Jesus, as we too are invited to leave home and open our eyes and hearts to others. This reminds me, or at least it speaks to me, about the necessity not only of visiting and celebrating Christmas, but to do it with that disposition, kind of what the response is, that we're really turned to God even as we are with other people, that we recognize or come to a deeper appreciation for one another, and our focus is on the goodness of God and his blessings. Not on the past, not on some of the hurt or pain, but to allow this gift of Christ to bring peace, to bring wholeness and holiness, so that truly Christ not only lives, but he empowers us to new life and love. And so that's my hope as we prepare and walk these final days of Advent to celebrate Christmas, that like Mary, we too can not only have faith and trust in God, but know that he desires to dwell with us and reveal to us that God's love is always for us.